Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And hey, we are your race and station, 102.5 and 106.3. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. So tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. for the Pennzoil 150 and on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. for the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3. The Game is presented by O'Charlie's. We've got Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes, so get those questions in for D-Mace. We'll take your text and your call. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. But it is now time, since we are now officially 24 hours away from the Tennessee Titans' first preseason game of the season.
A rare noon game, right? How many preseason games do you see at noon these days?
Remember you guys played
at Vanderbilt Stadium in the day one time? And it was old school AstroTurf.
Oh, my goodness. It was ouch.
1997. They made a deal. This is a great story. Uh-huh. They made a deal. You guys had played in Memphis the year before. Mm-hmm. They made a deal with Vanderbilt. Okay, look, we can't play in Memphis again. This is ridiculous. Sending you guys over there. It's a road even for a home game. Everybody's families is living in Nashville. So we got to play at Vanderbilt. So they make a deal with Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. But at the time, Todd Turner, the athletic director, the neighbors, like the people who lived in the neighborhood around mm-hmm. the stadium, said, we don't want night games. I don't understand why. What the mm-hmm. big deal was, like they were holding out. Well, we don't want the. So they kind of drove a hard bargain. Mm-hmm. But part of the deal was you had to play the preseason games during the day.
It's awful.
You guys played a game. It had to be 95 degrees. And it was on that turf. It was
that
brutal.
That just radiates
The fans were like, why are we here? This is ridiculous. Ron Paulus was playing for the Oilers.
My goodness.
The old Notre Dame quarterback who was supposed to be the most hyped up guy. He was supposed to win multiple Heisman.
He was supposed to win like four Heisman trophies.
Couldn't throw a spiral.
Nope.
But I remember D-Mace was out there. That was tough.
It was
brutal. Played Washington.
It was brutal.
I think.
Yeah, it was brutal. I don't wish that on nobody.
Yeah. So August, I guess in Chicago, maybe it's not that bad.
Right on the water.
Yeah. Is there a TV angle for it? But almost everybody plays their preseason games at night.
That's what I thought. But after the Titans play, it's the Panthers and Jets. So I think that's like maybe the better time slot to see Bryce Young, 3 o'clock kick. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. But even in the preseason, the Titans and noon just, you know, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. Got to get used to the noon games. Mm. Let's get into it. Our roster locks for the season, 24 hours away from the Titans playing. Am I crazy to say all three quarterbacks are locks?
No, you're not. I believe if it continues to go the way it has been going in practice, both guys are showing that they're making progress just about every day. Now, they're going to have their bad days, as, you know, Levis had a bad day, I believe, a little bit yesterday. Ryan Tannehill did as well. I think Malik Willis was on par for what he was doing. But I think as long as these quarterbacks continue to show progress, Willis and Levis, I think you got to keep both of them because you're thinking about the future in regards to the position. You know, and Ryan may not be here next year. So
it's probably more likely than not.
So you draft a guy in the third round, you draft a guy in the second round. If they're improving, then you keep them.
You guys believe, think about how crazy this would have sounded in March, that Malik Willis is a lock before the first preseason game. You guys are ready to go that far?
Yeah.
A lock.
Yeah, because I can't see him. I would be like, flabbergasted if he goes out in preseason and looks nothing like he has looked thus far in camp.
He's looked pretty solid.
Yeah, he's looked solid. If he turns back into the old Malik Willis when games start, that would
be. So that means he's not a lock.
Yeah, if he,
so you
if
can't
he,
see. That's why I say it seems.
But
like
I'm saying like right
to,
now
to say right now,
yeah.
a lock. That means no matter what happens from here, he still makes the team. So
maybe
I that's my definition
isn't.
Of a lock.
Uh-huh.
Is that I don't care
well,
how
lock
bad
it
you
somebody
screw up.
Unlock it.
See, there you somebody finds the key. I guess
exactly.
You got a spare key out there.
He could find the key.
Yeah, yeah. He may give
or
them
or somebody
the key.
Knows how to jimmy yeah. the.
But
the
I
lock.
think this would have been a different conversation had the NFL not changed the three.
Changed the rule.
Yes.
No
if
question.
If you can carry three, why not keep three? Mm-hmm.
But there's still going to be that game that's played and on the last day that we always. Watch Labor Day weekend or whatever. Okay, what about this? There's a guy that just got released over here. We could use him at this position. Where do we find room for him? You don't think that still is going to be a discussion somewhere in here?
Especially
if he struggles. I'm saying he's not a lock. I would love to see them keep him. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great to try to develop two different guys if mm-hmm. you can do it. So I want to see him make it, but I just feel like I see that gravitational pull every year of we got to have an extra lineman or wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
So I'm going to say yep. not a lock.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going
You're
lock.
You're still going lock.
I'm
yeah.
still
okay.
going to go lock just because of that three quarterback rule. And also, I really do think the Titans want or view Will Levis as the future mm-hmm. the future franchise quarterback for this organization. Knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill goes down in the second game of the season. Do you want to throw Will Levis out there?
Mm-hmm.
What if he's not ready? What if he's not coming along how he needs to be? I mean, I think that he is. I think that he's showed a lot of progress so far in camp. But I think you want to leave yourself just a little bit of wiggle room there. And you can always pick up another third quarterback along the way.
That's the other unknown, is if you cut Willis, what happens to him? Does somebody snap him up, sign him, lock him in on the roster, or does he go into that group of quarterbacks that are floating around that you could theoretically get back? They're having guys that they cut thinking, mm-hmm. well, we'll just put him on the practice squad, and then they were gone.
When Jim Wyatt put out a mailbag, this was, I guess, about a month ago before camp started, somebody sent in a question about Malik Willis, and Jim Wyatt wrote, you know, Ryan Tannehill, obviously, starting quarterback, he's a lock. Will Levis, second-round pick, he's a lock. He said that, you know, Malik Willis isn't at the time a lock to make the roster. He's going to have to prove himself. And that spread like absolute wildfire. There were articles coming out from Seattle, Washington, Baltimore. Should our team sign Malik Willis? Would Malik Willis be a fit for this team? And I know that those are just, you know, probably July conversations and some of them were fan blogs. But still, if you put him on the practice squad, there's going
to
be a GM or a head coach somewhere in the NFL.
Squad.
Especially if he's playing well.
Yeah.
If
exactly.
he plays well. Yeah.
Exactly. Because he's looked good so far in
yes.
camp. Better than he was last year. He still holds on to the football too long. But I like the progress that I've seen from Malik Willis. I'm going to say all three are a lock, but very fair to be skeptical of that, Willie. Running backs. I'm going to say right now only Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears.
Hmm.
And maybe even Tajay Spears isn't a lock. Like, I don't think Hassan Haskins is a lock. Jonathan Ward definitely isn't a lock.
Mm-hmm.
But given all of the legal things that are hovering around Hassan Haskins,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's a lock at all. And maybe even not Tajay Spears.
I think Henry and Spears are a lock. Hassan Haskins, he's more of a – it's like one of those partial locks or half locks that are kind of – almost locked, but not quite locked.
You got to jiggle it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
yeah,
you
right.
Jiggle it a little bit to
yeah.
lock it, you know. Got to make sure it's closed. But beside that, I think they may keep four running backs for special teams reasons. So that's why I believe, you know, beside Derrick Henry, Tajay, I believe, is a lock. I can't see them cutting him after drafting him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
If he's showing anything.
Right.
You know, he's there.
And he's looked good.
And he's looked pretty good, yeah. And Hassan Haskins, I think because of his special teams, but the problem is the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know what's going on. But I think they keep four. I think those three are Derrick Henry's a lock, Spears is a lock, Hassan Haskins is, I believe, a lock, but things could change. After that, I don't know if it's going to be Jonathan Ward or Chestnut.
I like Jonathan Ward.
Yeah, so I would say the first three, lock, almost, and then the other two, I don't know if, which one of those guys are going to make it.
Mm-hmm. I've always been curious about, there's always a guy mm-hmm. that gets carries in the second halves of these preseason games and looks good mm-hmm. carrying the ball. We can go through the years. Like Chestnut's done it before. Yeah. There's been, you can go back
training
10 years, 15
thoroughly.
Years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the games. And the fans get all excited because they break a long one and they look mm-hmm. really good. But I've always wondered how the coaches are evaluating that, because I've seen half the time that guy gets cut. Another half the time maybe they make it. The special teams mm-hmm. is in there. So I think I'm just going to play it conservative. The first two guys are locks. I'm not. I'm going to wait and see on the other guys right now.
I'm waiting and seeing. Receivers. Mm. We'll get into that coming up next, because I think that is an awfully interesting position group to follow. So we'll get into our receiver locks and the rest of the roster locks coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Titans football, 24 hours from now. I am ready for it. I'm ready to talk about actual football in an actual game. I know everyone is ready to hear about it, is ready to watch it, and is ready to talk about it. So let's get into it. Our roster locks for the 2023 season. Now, just a reminder, this is not our 53-man roster. This is not who is absolutely not going to make the team. It is just who is absolutely going to make the team. I think all three quarterbacks are a lock. Willie's not quite ready to go there. And we shall see as the quarterback battle unfolds in the preseason games. I think Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears are locks. Hassan Haskins, Jonathan Ward, Julius Chestnut, up in the air. Doesn't mean that they're not going to make the team. It's just up in the air. I think the receivers are very interesting. DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore. Locks. Other than that, I think it's really up in the air. That leaves two. I don't think that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a lock. Not that I don't think he's going to make the team. I don't think he's a lock.
So you put Moore mm-hmm. over NWI
yes.
as a lock at this point.
Yeah.
Have you seen that much from Moore, or is this based on what he's done in the league? I'm intrigued with that you say that, because I was wondering, you guys have seen more practices mm-hmm. than I have. So we're hearing good things about Moore to the point where you say he's a lock. Because I have seen guys like that mm-hmm. come in, new situation, and for whatever reason, it's not a fit, and you move on.
I think it's a combination of both, of what he's just a veteran and what we've seen in camp. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's dropped a lot of balls so far in mm-hmm. camp. He had one good day, but he's had a lot of drops. Mm. So I think he's still going to make the team. I just can't go as far as to say a lock.
Okay. I'm not going to put Moore as a lock.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Just because this is philosophically, I still feel like there's a lot of time left, mm-hmm. especially now that you don't have to cut a bunch of guys yeah. after X week and Y week. You can keep everybody if you want to. So I think you should give these guys a fair shot. There's some guys that might have a slow start to camp that might come on. So I want to give them some space there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not just going to give a guy a spot on the team. That's his Coach Willie.
Mm. He's tough.
Yeah, Coach Willie's tough, man.
Tough but fair. That's me. Tough but fair. I want to give the guys who might be struggling now an angle to. If there's no hope, like that's just. There's sometimes where you see tryouts where a coach has already made up his mind. Why are we going through the tryout mm-hmm. If you're not giving a pathway for guys to make an impression on you?
And Chris Moore does play special teams.
Yes.
So that's angle there, too, which is a plus.
I would go D-Hop, Treylon, Chris. Those three, I believe, are my locks.
Kyle Phillips,
I believe he is a lock. But it's just, I don't know whether to put him as a definite lock or sort of like
a soft lock.
A soft lock, yeah.
Well, a lock's a lock.
A lock
well,
is
you
a
are
lock.
Locking it in.
Yeah. All right. I go with D-Hop, Traylon, Kyle, and Chris. Those four are my locks to make the team. The other guys, it's just a battle.
So you're also concerned about Akine?
Yeah, I'm concerned because he doesn't play special teams. He's not a big special teams guy. Now, if he played, like, if he was a gunner or on the kickoff team, then I would be like, okay, he's a lock too because he serves another role, an important role for this team. But he doesn't, and I've seen this before where guys, they're good at that one position, being a receiver. I've seen guys either be good at receiver or defensive back, but they are fourth or fifth on the depth chart. But they don't play no special teams, and all of a sudden there's these younger guys that play special teams that may not have as seasoned as you, but they end up winning a role on the team because they can do other things. Mm-hmm. And they figure, okay, once we get him in here, he'll start to pick up what we need him to pick up. That's why I'm not sold on, even though I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I don't think he's a lock. I think anyone past Hopkins, Burks, Phillips, and Moore, they're battling. And as much as I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, uh-huh, because he doesn't play such a thing, when you are the third, fourth, fifth, sixth receiver, damn it, you better be playing special teams. And you better be a key guy on special teams. And right now, he's not.
And this is something that TD talked about with us as well, mm-hmm, is when you're battling for a roster spot, he mentioned Colton Dowell. There was one day in practice, if you remember, it was Malik Willis in 7-on-7, and Malik Willis delivered just a beautiful ball to, mm-hmm, Colton Dowell. Hit Colton Dowell right in the hands, and he dropped it. TD was like, if you're vying for a roster spot, if you're trying to prove yourself, you can't afford to make blunders like that in training camp. I kind of view that the same way as Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's got more skins on the wall. Mm-hmm. He's a more veteran player than Colton Dowell, obviously. But you got to catch the balls now. Like, you're not DeAndre Hopkins. You're not Traylon Burks. You don't have those kinds of skins on the wall. So if I had to guess, these are not locks, if I had to guess where the other two spots, mm-hmm, are, because we have four of the six receiver spots kind of taken up, I would guess that it's most likely Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Racy McMath. But so they're going to battle. Mm-hmm. Colton Dowell, Mason Kinsey, Reggie Roberson, who's looked really good in camp, they're going to battle it out in the preseason games.
I'm encouraged that, uh-huh, you guys think that Moore is an upgrade.
Moore's looked good.
Moore is an upgrade from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yes.
If he's better than him, that's a good thing. That means, mm-hmm, that could be that you made a nice budget signing, bargain signing.
I think as a whole, this group has done better. They've looked. This is one of the positions that I am encouraged, like from top to bottom, because, mm-hmm, they have, McDowell, he's had some bad practices. Racy McMath, you just don't know what you're going to get out of him every other day. And Mason Kinsey, same with those guys. But from top to bottom, they have looked good. But I don't know if it's good enough at the bottom to make this team, because the Titans, mark my words, they will go out and get another receiver that can play special teams at the end of the day, that can play special teams. And the only reason I say Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's not a lot, because, like I said, I've seen this so many times. Hell, I was in the same position that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was in, third, fourth receiver. But I was able to stick on the team because I played special teams. I was a key cog in what we did special teams-wise. He's not a key cog in what they do special teams-wise.
Right.
So now you're not helping yourself. You're hurting yourself, that you don't play special teams and you're not one of their core guys. Haskins helps himself because he does play special teams, and he is one of the better special teams guy. He may be the best special teams guy they have.
Kyle Phillips, same way.
Julius Chestnut, he plays special teams.
Way.
Julius Chestnut, special
teams
guy.
There's not
teams
a place
guy
for Julius Chestnut on this roster if he, mm-hmm, doesn't play special teams.
Exactly.
As far as the tight end position goes, I think Chig's the only lock.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it's almost, and I struggle with it because Chig's the only lock, but also the rest of the players in the depth chart, whether it's Josh Wiley, Trevon Wesco, Elise Mack, they have to make the team because who else do you have?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of depth at the tight end position.
I also don't have as much of a feel for how they want to use the tight ends. Are we going to see as much two tight ends? This has been a heavy two tight end offense for a long time, but maybe that won't be the case as much this year. We'll see. But now, I feel like with the right tackle situation, you might like that second tight end in there some.
Yes. I think they would be. Which is good for these guys, right?
And they have, what, six or seven candidates, right? So there's a lot of guys vying for spots. So to me, they want to keep. Like, how many are you looking for total? We know they're not locks, but what's the number? Four?
Four. Probably four.
Tight ends?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like on a game day, you're going to have four active, right? You need four.
I don't know if you're going to have four active, honestly.
Because it all depends on the offensive line.
And the special teams. Same thing, special teams. Did you get in there?
So you may only keep – because I don't believe that the Titans keep four tight ends just to be keeping four tight ends so they can sort of fill this quota or, well, we need an extra one because we may have to have him be a blocking tight end. No. I think if they don't prove they deserve to be on this team, then they're only going to keep the guys that prove they deserve to be on this team. And right now, it's only one guy, and that's Chig at the tight end position. So that's I'm with you. That's the only guy I believe is a lock. Now, those other guys, they have a better opportunity. You know, Josh Wiley, who they drafted, he has a better opportunity to make the roster, but it's not a lock.
Not a lock.
Yeah.
Right. Again, these are locks. These are, you put them away in a different category. Mm-hmm. You don't touch it. Everyone else kind of battles it out. Mm-hmm. Defensively, let me venture to say.
Hold on.
Jeffrey Simmons.
So we just skipped the offensive line. So we need all of those guys.
All of them
need to make the team.
Is anybody a lock?
Exactly.
Chris Hubbard. Nobody a lock. That's where this offensive line is. Is Chris Hubbard, a guy I've never even heard of before like 2 weeks ago.
I did not know Chris.
Is a lock.
He's the only lock on that team.
From Mother Hubbard. Remember the fairy tales or whatever?
Oh, my goodness.
I made this point, too, when Jamarco Jones got kicked off the team because he couldn't keep his hands to himself, that when Jamarco Jones gets kicked off the team and that causes a big, you know, deal with your offensive line, that is a bad sign. So, yeah, they're all making the team. They have to.
Caroline,
I'm making the team at right tackle.
If you play right tackle, yeah.
When Derek and I were doing our little techniques on the left tackle last week in between segments,
it was,
are we locks after seeing that?
At 100%. It was a master class in tackle technique, these two. It was truly amazing to see. Ask D-Mace is coming up next. Get those questions in for D-Mace. We're taking your texts and your calls, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. Taking your calls and your text, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And I tune into the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. We'll broadcast live from Titans training camp, and we'll get player interviews, deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. All of our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank, Open, Parman Energy, Cardinal Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Development. But let's get into your questions for D-Mace. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, I also got a dad joke for you, D-Mace, if you want to hear it.
Let's do it.
Okay. So you probably have heard that recently the guy that invented the throat lozenge has recently passed away. Do you know what that means?
What is that?
Well, it means no coughing at his funeral.
Oh, that took me a second.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, Hold on. That was a good one. I give you that.
Yeah. That was a good one. Took me a
second. That's the main thing. If he likes it, that's the main thing.
Okay. It hits you a couple levels. There. You get the first level, then you get the second level. Pretty clever.
Yeah, you guys
saw the shirt that I texted you guys
that
from
was so funny.
The local workout facility in New York or in Rhode Island. The T-shirt.
Yeah.
And Eric, you should get yourself one of these.
Okay.
Dad jokes are how I roll, but it's I
like
roll.
E-Y-E.
Like
I roll.
Yeah, an eye roll. Like, dad jokes are how I roll.
D-Mace needs that question or that shirt for Fridays.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. My question for you, D-Mace, is this. What is the number one thing that you're looking forward to or what you want to see in tomorrow night's preseason game? Guys, y'all take care. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
Other than the offensive line, because I think that's what everyone wants to see. How does this offensive line hold up against another opponent that's not, you know, their team? But other than that, I do want to see both quarterbacks, how they perform. I most importantly want to see, are we going to get a glimpse of how this offense, from a play call standpoint, how it's going to look? The defense, I'm not, even though I do want to see the defensive backs, but I think the defense, I'm good with the defense unless somebody gets hurt. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, the starting defense, get them out of there.
I think they're going to be fine.
Don't even go to Chicago.
There are going to be some ups and downs in the season for the defense, I know. But for the most part, this is going to be a good defense. It's the offense. I want to see, like everyone else, the offensive line. You know, how they play, the two quarterbacks. But I want to see how Tim Kelly calls these games because I want to see if he's going to give us a glimpse of what it's going to be like in a regular season.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. One texter texts in, says a little film junkie here, X's and O's question. What's the easiest route and the hardest route to get open against press coverage?
The easiest route to get open? I mean, it's a go route. Just got to run.
I'll run
the guy.
The Jalen Hyatt
in press coverage. The hardest route to run versus press coverage, it could be sort of an in-breaking route because a lot of times if you beat that guy off the line of scrimmage, whether it be inside or outside, he's trailing you. And, you know, his help is that safety help in the middle. So he's hoping he funnels you into he's hoping that you run a deep end route so he can sort of undercut that. But that is a lot of times that route, at least for me, when they're playing press coverage, it's a little bit harder to get open. You got to play with it a little bit at the top of your stem. You got to play with it a little bit to kind of get the defensive back off balance and then break in. But anything, you know, not going like strictly going down the field, a post, a goal, skinny post, stuff like that. Anytime you got to break 10, 15 yards and that guy's on you, that's tough because now if we're close together, he can grab me without the ref seeing. He can kind of push me a little bit, knock me off balance if I'm not, you know, if I'm not running the route the way I need to. So to me, those were sort of the hardest routes to run. Versus press coverage, that inside breaking out. I love running nonstop versus press coverage. I love running curl routes versus press coverage because I can get that guy running. And I would bet on myself every time. There was not a defensive back in the National Football League that could stop as quick as I could stop. They just couldn't. Nine stop routes, sluggo stop routes. You give me that route versus any coverage, I'm getting open.
Putting those knees to the test.
Yeah, I'm getting open. That's why my knee's bad now.
Well, they went to good use for many years. Another texter texts in says, do you think that Malik Willis will be QB2 at the start of the season?
It depends on how he plays during the preseason. If things continue to go the way they have been going from what we've seen, then, yeah, there's a high possibility that he is quarterback two And, you know, that's not an indictment on Will Levis. It's not. It's more so what Malik Willis has done this offseason and how he's prepared himself. I don't know if it just depends on what he does in these preseason games. To me, it has nothing to do with Will Levis. You know, it has everything to do with how he performs. If he continues to take those steps that he has been taking the last 2.5 weeks, if he continues that in the preseason, he'll be fine.
Got a texter that says, D-Mace, college baseball just put in a rule that you cannot have contact before a player, and you cannot offer a scholarship to a high school player before basically the summer before his junior year starts. Mm-hmm. And that changes to where you could get a commitment from a guy in the ninth grade, maybe, I don't know, theoretically the eighth grade or whatever. Do you like that rule, and should college football do something similar? Like, for example, when did you commit?
I didn't commit into my senior, after the season.
It's a fall sport as opposed to a spring sport for baseball, so I get that a little bit. But I like that rule for college baseball. I feel like that should be across the board. There are some other sports that do that, but I think it's an interesting text, and I wonder if football will go a little closer to that to stop the madness of committing kids when they're ninth grade.
Yeah, 10th grade. And it was different back then because I think back then that was the norm, a guy getting offers his, you know, starting like the summer going into his senior season. Yeah, he got a bunch of letters. You know, or she got a bunch of letters, you know, maybe a sophomore year, junior year, but they didn't start committing until senior year. Like my whole, it was, about 4 or 5 of us that went to Division I colleges my senior year in football, but we all didn't commit until.
Stacked team.
We had a really good team, but we didn't sign our letters or commit until after the season. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when I was taking my visits after the season. But sports is different now. I get it. But I do like that rule. Like, it doesn't benefit me as a university. And the only benefit it gives to a high school student, boy or girl, is the bragging rights that,
around school.
But it does nothing for the university because at any time, both – can say, you know what, I don't want to go there. Or we don't have a scholarship for you now because this guy that we thought was going to commit somewhere else, now he wants to come here so we can pull your scholarship. Mm-hmm. That, it only hurts because now if I walk away as a student, then, you know, they're a little bit upset. And if you remove my scholarship from me, withdraw my scholarship, now me and my family's upset. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, or it's not beneficial to no one when you offer somebody a scholarship in the ninth grade. Because I guarantee you, I've seen a lot of men and women, they are great eighth grade, ninth grade year. You offer them that scholarship, they may be good 10th grade year, and all of a sudden they start going downhill.
And you grow.
Exactly.
Lot. Physically, mentally,
and then people outgrow you.
Yeah, right.
Or people get better, you know? So I think it would be better if they, you know, like you said, Willie, going into their, what was that, the summer of their junior year or senior year?
Yeah, they've now made a change for baseball. Mm-hmm. And there are similar rules, I guess, in lacrosse and softball. But you can't have any contact before August or until August 1st before the player's junior year of high school.
Yeah, I think that should be across the board.
So it's basically right about now, you're a rising junior, that now coaches can go talk
exactly.
to you.
They should be able
maybe
to
even
now.
Offer you a scholarship. That's reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Ninth grade, 10th grade, that's early. It's too early.
And I believe it was a sit-down. I believe Nick Saban, sat down with SiriusXM. Maybe it was at SEC Media Days, maybe earlier in the summer. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban said 7 of the 12 months of the year, he and his staff work every single day, around the clock, early mornings, late nights, have 0 days off, 7 of the 12 months of the year. That is outrageous because yes, you're coaching and you're developing game plans and you're going to practices, but a whole lot of that work is all recruited.
Yeah.
So if you take that away from coaching staffs, maybe it makes their quality of life a little bit better.
It should.
And you're not going to stop scouting kids when they're in 9th and 10th grade. Mm-hmm. But if you can't have those face-to-face meetings, maybe that just, you know, levels the playing field and alleviates a little bit from these coaching staffs. Because 7 months of the year, you're working every single day. Like, that is – that's ridiculous. That's – you cannot maintain that. And you're probably going to push a whole lot of people out of the profession who could be really good coaches just because they don't want to do that. They have other things in their life that they want to focus on.
That makes sense. It's for the coaches as well as the kids.
Right, exactly. More questions for D-Maze coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game. Ask D-Maze. Get those questions in for D-Maze. Taking your calls and text. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim is on the line with a question for D-Maze. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Let me kind of preface this first, D-Maze. And the reason I say this, I run the scoreboard for a local NAIA college basketball team here where I live. And we were running the board one night, and I had a lady that hollered at the referees, and they had been bad all night, and she hollered, "Hey, Foot Locker wants their shirts back." So who was one of the best, most creative trash talkers you ever played with? And then I wanted to make a comment about committing early.
Let me see. Sam Madison.
Was it you?
Nah, it wasn't me. I didn't trash talk per se, but if you started it, I was just going to go in with you. I was just going to go ahead and finish it, and we can go and talk, you know, for majority of the game. But I didn't start it because I'm like, man, listen, if you want to do this and you start it, okay. But I don't want to waste my energy, you know, going back trash talking with you, because that's all you're doing, wasting energy. But Sam Madison, Sam is a good guy. He's just a good guy. Playing against him was hell because he was a very good defensive back. But he's never stopped talking. This dude, I played him against him in college. He didn't stop talking. I played against him when he was in the NFL. The guy doesn't stop talking. He probably still talking to this day. I mean, goodness, he was one of those trash talkers that it didn't get under your nerves, but he never stopped talking. Even if he had to talk to himself, I think he would talk.
Just wanted to hear the sound of his own voice.
He just, that's the Florida boys. They just, that's how they grew up, talking trash.
Different.
You know?
Different. So. Tim, what was your second point?
Yeah, the other part was, Willie, you remember, if I'm not mistaken, Steve Alford, didn't he commit when he was in the sixth grade to Bobby Knight?
I think you're thinking of Damon Bailey, who was a little bit after that. It was like the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the best eighth grader in the country, and he had committed to Bobby Knight at that point. If Alford may have committed early, I'm not sure, but it wasn't hyped up that I remember. But yeah, Damon Bailey was definitely who I played against.
Yeah, Damon Bailey was the one, I think, maybe it was, but I think Steve did too. So, all right, enjoy the show.
I mean, it's been going on for a long time. Like, remember, we used to call him Baby Shaq. John Henderson from Pearl Cone, when he was 8th, 9th grade, people were offering him. He could have played basketball. He could have played football. Of course, he ends up being a first-round pick for the Jaguars.
Jaguars, yeah.
Played for a long time. There are certain guys that you just know are going to be Division I athletes, and everybody's gravitating to them. But I still think there's a lot of benefit in waiting. Let the kid grow up a little bit. Let the kid start learning about the different colleges, not have the pressure of having to make that decision at such a young age.
Can't stop cruttin'. Always got to crut.
Hey, D-Maze, so. I got a question for you. Adam, our intern back here, wanted me to ask you, when did you get your first offer for college, and how old were you?
I got my first offer, I believe it was my junior year, heading into my senior year. So I guess it was in my junior year, heading to my senior year. Or it might have been right at the beginning of my senior year. But it was the University of Buffalo. That was the first letter I got, first everything, University of Buffalo. Think I was going to University of Buffalo? Hell no.
I've been to Buffalo one time.
No.
And I have no desire to go back.
I've been there several times to play. That's it. I didn't want to live in the city of Buffalo. Hey, Buffalo could be a great
it's,
city.
It's underrated, I'm telling you.
The Buffalo it's
underrated so much so that it's under snow all the time.
I have not had to dig out a car like the Bills did last year. They did have to dig their cars out of the snow. That was unbelievable video to see.
That is brutal.
Yeah. I also have a dad joke for you all.
Ooh.
What do you call a photographer that is out of control? A loose cannon.
I like that one. Right. I like it.
We do have another dad joke. Michael from Missouri. What's brown and sticky?
I don't know. Honey?
A stick. I thought you'd like one. Stick.
That was so simple, too. that was so simple.
That was a good one.
Goodness.
David Texan asked D-Mace, what's the key to success in the NFL outside of just pure athletic ability?
The key to success, putting aside your athletic ability. One, I think you have to be a coachable individual. You have to have that will and that drive to work, and not just work when you're on the football field, work in the off season. You have to, even though it's a game, you cannot approach it in that manner because it's a business and you are your own business. So you got to, if you want to be successful or you want to have a successful business, what do? You make sure you do the things necessary. You put in the hours, the time, you know, all those things that everyone else is not doing, you're doing. And then, I mean, a lot of it, I think the most important thing, you know, what I found out is, honestly, you got to be lucky in a sense, because there were guys, you know, that I seen that had a lot of talent, but they just couldn't stay on the field. They got hurt for whatever reason. So a lot of it boils down to you being lucky or blessed or whatever you want to call it. But beside that, you need to take it seriously. You need to work at it, continue to work at it. You know, just find other people, you know, in this profession, at least veteran guys that have done it, pick their brains and see some of the things that they've done to have a long career. Especially if you're on a team. I was on a team, obviously, Steve, Eddie, Bruce Matthews. So you're watching what those guys do throughout the day. And you sort of want to emulate some of those things because whatever they're doing, it's allowed them, especially Bruce Matthews, whatever he's doing has allowed him to play almost 20 years. So the offensive line, we're looking at what he did. And for me, it was just looking at some of the other veteran guys and what they did and being coachable. I think that's the most important thing besides your talent is being coachable, understanding what you need to do, knowing that some days you may get chewed out. So, and it's like, okay, so be it. But I got to have thick skin and come back out there and you know, put together better tape. Because coaches, I mean, Heimerdinger, whew. If you couldn't take Heimerdinger, I mean, you couldn't play in the NFL. Because Heimy, man, if he would get on you. He got on me. So he would get on you if you weren't doing the things that he asked you to do. But he did it because he saw something in you. And if you couldn't take that, and if you all of a sudden win the shell because of that, you can't play in this league. Just can't.
Matthew in Nashville. D-Mace, whose contract dispute gets resolved first? Jonathan Taylor, Chris Jones, Josh Jacobs, or Nick Bosa?
Oh, man. Gosh. Those running backs, I don't know if they're going to get situated.
Well, that's a tough
Jonathan
one.
Taylor
that's
one's
a tough
getting
one. Yeah, he walked out of camp again. He left camp again.
If the owner of the football team, for which I played, mm-hmm. said that if I died, the NFL would keep going. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to be in practice either.
Even though it's true, don't tell me that. Don't say it out loud.
It's so weird to say.
Exactly. I think the Chris Jones gets done quicker. Bosa. Let me say this. I think it's between Chris Jones and Bosa. I think the running backs, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But I think it's between Chris Jones. Now, the problem that Bosa has, they just paid their quarterback. So they're going to have to finagle and free up money to try to give him his contract. Chris Jones, I think his contract gets done before Bosa's. But when that is, I don't know. Maybe it's right at the start of the season. Because mm-hmm. they don't need neither one of the guys for preseason. But I think right before the season, Chris Jones gets signed. And Bosa may not sign. Because he still has, 2 years left? Something like that. And then they can franchise tag him. So I think he's going to have to come back. I think Bosa's going to have to come back.
Vincent says, D-Mace, I left a numbered list for my handyman. When I got home, job number one was done, as was job number 3 and 5. When I called him to complain, he said, my ad clearly says I do any odd jobs.
That one tickled the ass.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like he was literal with his. He was literal like, I do odd jobs, like 1, 3, 5. You know, those other jobs in the middle, I'm not doing.
Even jobs. Just odd jobs.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
Ask D-Maze, appreciate everyone for chiming in for Ask D-Maze. Coming up next, we've done some of our offensive roster locks. Let's get to the other side of the ball, our defensive roster locks, since we are less than 24 hours away from Tennessee Titans football in Chicago tomorrow. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.